August 13th, Jesus says, I shall repeat what I have already said, regarding the soul, that you must help me to bring into the light. Father too, will thus be oriented. In addition, this repetition is also a response to the questions by Father, who, he can be sure, is in his field of apostolate, and he will have a lot of work to do there still, for the pagans are here, and he is my missionary here. Let him thus arm himself with fortitude, patience, and constancy, and work on hearts for me which are deafer than stones, so that my voice will enter into them. Let it enter. If afterwards, once it has entered, hearts do not want to turn it into life, all the worse for them. I, the little bearer of me, and my missionary shall be justified before the Father. As for hearts, they will have to answer, for they have closed themselves to the mercy of God, who uses all means from his beloved Son to the Son's faithful servants, to give supernatural aid to creatures. Let Father thus use all he deems useful in what I say to you. They are pearls, that I give him freely, but out of all the pearls, I hold back one, the mother pearl, so to speak. I hold back you, of whom I am jealous, and over whom I exercise an absolute power of ownership. You are not Maria, and must not be known as Maria. You are a sigh emerging from my heart, a wind blowing and refreshing brows without their knowing where it comes from, or what its name is. Your personality is annulled. You, as a creature, must be nothing. You must not be. In not being, no one must know you as a writer of my thought, no one except two or three privileged creatures, who are such by my will. You are the breath of Jesus, and that is all. Later, when I will, and no one can harm you, the name of my little voice will be known. But you will then be elsewhere, where human pettiness does not reach, and human wickedness does not act. In regard to that soul, and many like it, a superperfect charity must be exercised. As I exercised it many times in my earthly life. They are newly shaped souls. Everything in them by instinct, longs to be perfected, tends towards an increase in size, like the newborn child who feeds, moves about, whimpers, aspiring to know how to nourish himself, move around, and express himself, with real food, real steps, and real words. And they should be treated like the newborn, without acts of impatience or aversion. But do you know, soul of mine, how often I felt my flesh crawl from such an intense disgust, that it surfaced from my heart to my flesh, when I had to approach sinful beings? And yet, if I had not approached them, could I ever have attracted them to myself? I could have with a divine violence. But why use it when there is love, which is the dearest of magnets? I began my public life with a wedding feast, at which I had to hear the usual talk, and the usual references during such feasts. I did not decline Matthew's invitation, to the point that I was reproached for it by fault finders, stained by what they rebuked me for having entered that house. I did not reject the sinful woman who consumed, on my flesh, the last remains of her artifices for seduction, and cancelled her debt to grace with an act of contrite and courageous love. I did not scorn speaking with the Samaritan woman, who was everyone's and no one's. I was not silent, because pagans or sinners were mixed in among the crowds listening to me. But, rather, precisely for their sake I found the sweetest glances, smiles, and words of love. I came and come to gather all my sheep into my sheepfold, and for the sheep, that are distant, and have taken twisting roads, as a good and tireless shepherd I go amidst brambles and thorns, shedding tears and dripping blood until I have found and gathered them. If I call others, to help me in the work, these others must act as I do. I know there is a holy modesty, and an instinctive jealousy which bring suffering when they are under compulsion. But one must overcome holy modesty and unholy selfishness, and let the little ones come to me, so they can hear my voice through your work. One must act before them with great love and thoroughgoing freedom, as if they were persons convinced of my law. Do not think that what you say is wasted. No. Arid ground on which rain falls after years and years of drought seems not to get wet, if water rains down upon it from the sky. In reality it labors more than well cared for ground to drink in water. But it always gets wet. So it is with hearts. One must irrigate them, get them in touch with the living water that descends from heaven and leads to heaven. I then do the rest. Miracles of grace in hearts take place through a complex set of agents, whose root is in me. I could do everything by myself, but I love to associate my disciples with my work of redemption, so that they may share my glory in heaven with me. I have wished to take my seat with you, my friends, at the heavenly banquet, where my glories as the Redeemer will be celebrated. I have ardently desired this, since before time existed, for nothing is unknown to eternal intelligence. I know the names of those seated at the table. I know those who, after having fed on me on earth, will receive from me in heaven the bread broken by my hands in the fraternal agape, where master and disciples will be united forever without the nightmare of the impending passion and the sordid betrayal. Courage, then. If you are hurt by ideas which my light makes you understand to be mistaken, do not retreat. Like a mother, clasp those spiritual infants to your heart, even if they are covered with unclean matter. Offer your suffering for offenses against my light, so that it will descend to give the light of true faith to the spirit longing for faith, but still unable to go to it. I wanted to finish telling you about the pearl. I have spoken about other things to guide Father, whose work at your side has not been useless. His status as a son of Mary has set to flight the one who was paralyzing your spiritual hearing and sight and stirring up the lower part in you. You are this way because you have had Father's help. I took you from two points on the earth and led you to one another because that was the way it had to be. You always remember, must see me in my priest. He must see me in you. And I have kept not the crumbs, but the whole bread for him, because precisely for him, against your own will, I have reserved the mission of being your fraternal help, and for you, that of being his fraternal help. I know which stones are to be joined together, to make up the walls of my city. They seem to act by themselves. In reality, one is of use to another, in perfect convergence. I know. It is not he that clears the table and picks up the crumbs. If anything, he is Lazarus, who prepares the house for the master. The house is you, and you are also Mary. But could Mary have remained listening to the master, if Lazarus had not prepared the house for the guest and Martha had not attended to the chores? I made Mary into a saint. But did I do less with Lazarus and Martha? All who serve me are equally dear, whatever work they may perform. The important thing is to do what I want. This is the answer to your letter, where he has deemed it useful to respond. I see Jesus with his cross on his right shoulder, and he goes, and no one follows. He looks at me with eyes of immense pain.